tonight to Exodus chapter number 30. Exodus chapter number 30. And here the Lord is describing to Aaron and his sons through Moses, as he's telling these things to Moses, he's describing to them how they are to worship him. And he's giving them instruction here. And so here in this passage, he gives them two more pieces of furniture. This one here, the major piece, is the altar of incense that he speaks of here. And then later on in the passage, the brazen laver that he speaks of there, beginning in verse number 18. So he gives them these two more pieces of furniture, the greater being the altar of incense and the importance that it will play in worship for the children of Israel. We begin reading here in verse 1 of chapter 30. We're not going to get through by no means all of chapter 30. We're just going to take a section of it tonight and try to look concerning just this altar of incense, and then we'll kind of jump to the end of the chapter and see what he says concerning it and its use, how it's to be employed in the worship. But we begin reading here in verse 1. He says, "Thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four squares shall it be. Two cubits shall be the height thereof, the horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And two golden rings shalt thou make it under the crown of it by the two corners thereof. Upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, and thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon." They couldn't just come in and pour anything on there. There was specific incense that the Lord had given them direction in what to make, to have on that, on this altar of incense for this worship of Him. It was a specific, let me try to get this out, specific perfumes. My specifics and perfumes are all running together there. It was specific perfumes that were allowed to be put on this altar of incense, and God gave them direction in making these particular perfumes to be burnt there upon the altar of incense. So there couldn't be just any kind. You couldn't run out to the store and buy some Old Day cologne or whatever you wear and run out there and sprinkle it on there. They had to make one of three types, as we'll look at in just a moment, and of those three types, that was all that could be used on the ark or on the altar of incense here for the worship of the Lord. It says, verse 10, he says, "And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering." And so when he made the offering of atonement once a year, he would sprinkle blood also upon the altar of incense as well. And so it would be a part then of that sin offering that was made for the atonement. "Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord." Now we read, jump over and look with me in verse 34, down through verse number 38, as he describes this further. As he tells us here specifically of the of the perfumes themselves. The Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices. I don't know how to pronounce it. Stacked, I guess. And onycha and galbanum. These sweet spices, with pure frankincense of each, shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. And so they weren't even allowed to make this for themselves. Ooh, that stuff smells good. I think I'm going to get me some of that. No. They were not let that. It was only for the purpose of worshiping the Lord. It was the only thing allowed on this altar of incense, these three ingredients with the myrrh that would be mixed there, just those three ingredients that was allowed to be used there on to make this perfume to be put there upon the altar of incense. You could not make it for yourself. And we'll get more into verse 37 because there's a lot there in verse 37 that as we go along here we'll bring, Lord willing, a little bit more out concerning this. But as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereto, shall even be cut off from his people. The Lord took this serious, that this was only to be for his worship. If anybody was to make it for themselves, they were to be cut off from the people. And so the Lord instructs them here concerning this altar of incense. It stood about 36 inches high, about 18 inches square. It was again made of shittim wood and covered in gold with a horn at each corner of the altar that protruded up from the altar itself. Had a gold rim that encircled the top, and had golden rings at each corner where the staves of gold and shittim wood would go to carry the altar by. And so just like they carried, would carry the altar itself, just like they will carry the brazen laver that they will make, so will they carry it. Like the Ark of the Covenant, each one will have those staves in it, and they carry it there upon their shoulders with the staves, moving it from one place to the other. The shittim wood and gold, as we've already mentioned, is a picture of the deity and the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He was both, that hypostatic union of our Lord, that He was both man and God, all man, all God at the same time. That which we cannot fully understand, that which we cannot fully describe, that's what is given to us in the Scriptures to describe our Lord as He had this in Himself. And so His deity as well as His humanity is shown in these instruments, in these particular pieces of furniture that are made here for the purpose of the worship of God. And so they are representing Him in His deity and His humanity. It was absolutely necessary that our Lord would come, that He would take upon Himself flesh and dwell among us. We study this all the time. This is the reality of the gospel for us. Without Him coming in the likeness of sinful flesh and living among us, fulfilling the law of God in our place, without Him accomplishing this salvation for us and the giving of Himself, you and I would not have salvation. You and I would be sit yet in our sins. There would be no hope for us. But our Lord took upon Himself flesh. He dwelt among us. He became one of us and thereby lived that perfect sinless life before His Father, fulfilling the law of God completely, and then going to the cross in our place, taking upon Himself our sin, being made sin for us, He who knew no sin, being made that sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Without His flesh accomplishing this for us, you and I would not have salvation. Our Lord accomplished this to bring to pass that salvation for us, because He not only took upon Himself our sin, but He took upon Himself the punishment, the wrath of God for our sin. He suffered our penalty for us, and in turn gave unto us His righteousness, that we might be made the children of God in Him. And so John writes to us here in John chapter 1 and verse number 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, we read here concerning the placement of this altar, this third piece of furniture in the holy place. We already have the lampstand there in the holy place. We have the table of showbread there, and the showbread itself that was put there on the table every day. We have those two pieces, and then the third piece there in the holy place of the tabernacle is this altar of incense. And it is positioned, centered there, on the veil of the Holy of Holies. It's positioned right on the center there of it. And so it kind of, if you would, block the way into the Holy of Holies, where it is placed there, right before the veil. It was the closest the priest could come to God in the daily service of worship. That was physically the closest he would be to the presence of God when he would bring the incense to be burnt there upon the altar of incense. And the same is true for us today. The closest that we can come to God today is in prayer. And that's what this incense is representing. It is representing the prayers of God's people being brought into His presence, you see. And so it goes up before Him there. And so likewise, because of Christ Jesus, that's where we have that closest place to our Father, is when we are in prayer. When we come to Him every day in that time of prayer, bowing before Him, bringing Him our petitions, our worship, and bringing to Him those things that plague us, those things, those needs that come in and out of our hearts and our minds, to praise Him because of His blessings, to bring thanksgiving before Him, that is when we are the closest to Him. We are given that ready access to the throne of God by Christ Jesus, as Hebrews chapter 10 tells us. We are given that access to come into His presence, to bring those prayers before Him. James says in James chapter 4 and verse number 8, he says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify ye your hearts, ye double-minded. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." However, in our coming to Him in prayer, it's quite different today. The closeness that we have now to God in prayer is very different to what their physical presence there with Him was in the days of the tabernacle. For one, we have no earthly priest. We don't have anybody else going before us. The regular people of Israel had no place to come into the holy place of the tabernacle. The only person that was in there was the high priest, bringing the prayers of the people before the Lord, as he would bring that incense and burn it before the Lord, as he would light the lampstands there, as he would conduct the business with the table of showbread there. when he came in to do that work, he was the only one that was able to come in and do that worship on behalf of the people. The people couldn't say, hey, Aaron, today I need to go in and use the altar of incense. I need to offer up some incense for the Lord and offer prayer up to him. Like, no, you don't, no. You can't go in there. I have to go in there for you. You know, Aaron had to be the one to go for the people. They had that earthly priest. They did not have that ready access to the presence of God. So there was, today, we have no earthly priest. We have no one that goes before us to go in our stead for us, to do that work for us. We have ready access to the throne of God because our high priest is seated at the right hand of God. We have no earthly priest. We have our heavenly priest. And he is right there making intercession for us. But not only is he making intercession for us, he's opened the way for us. So that now there's no veil. Here in the Old Testament tabernacle, even Aaron, when he would come in and to bring this worship each day, as he would burn this incense upon the altar, he was blocked by the veil. He didn't have ready access to the presence of God. He was still to conduct the worship as God had prescribed for him to do it. He was to do it exactly in the order that God had given, and God would listen, God would hear, God would bless as they would come in and do that work of the worship. But he did not have that ready access to the presence of God because of the veil that was separating him and God. But now we have no veil that's separating us. The veil has been removed. The veil that is, as Paul would say, that is to say, his flesh. The Lord Jesus has opened the way for us. And at his death there on the cross, that veil was rent from top to bottom, opening the way into the Holy of Holies, representing for us that you and I, as God's people, now have ready access to the throne of God. That we can go in before him at any time, into his presence at any time, and bring our prayers and bring our petitions and bring our worship and come into his presence and have that ready access to his throne. That is absolutely marvelous. That is wondrous that we have been given that place all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has accomplished that for us, that we have now that ready access. So there's some differences in our prayer life. There are differences in our worship today than what they had here as God is prescribing for them there in chapter 30 here. The altar of incense now stands before the throne of God, not the one necessarily that's there that they built in the wilderness, but we read here in Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 3, as the scriptures give us record here. Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And so there is one in heaven as well that incense was poured out upon. He goes on to say there in verse number 4, the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there are voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And so this was offered, this incense was offered up, this sweet smelling savor was offered up there in the presence of the throne of God along with the prayers of the saints as they would come before the throne of our Lord. And so there is this everlasting testimony to the prayers of God's saints that have gone up now in the presence there of the throne of God. And this is what this is represented here in chapter number 30 when we see this altar of incense. Now, the incense was made of three specific ingredients or three specific perfumed plants that were mixed together with frankincense. The stacked, if I'm pronouncing that right, is actually a gum from a storax tree, and it's described as something similar to a poplar tree in how it looks. That would be mixed with the frankincense. The onycha is actually a Hebrew word for shell, and it's a shell of a mollusk. And that mollusk shell is burnt, and that mollusk shell actually gives off a perfume. And it's mixed then with the frankincense and mixed with the stack. And then the galbanum is a gum resin that emits a silky sap, and it has a balsamic odor. So these three ingredients mixed with the frankincense was the only thing that could be put upon that altar of incense for the worship of the Lord. Now, frankincense itself comes from the Salei tree in Arabia, and it is a white gum, and is said to be a sweet savor to the Lord as it was offered up. And we find it, in fact, mentioned many times in the Scripture as far as how it was used for that perfume. And so this is what was to be put there on this altar of incense, to be burned there before the Lord, and it was to be burned continually. It was to continually go up before the Lord. In fact, when Aaron would enter in for the Day of Atonement, for the sacrifice for it, the one time of year that he was able to go into the Holy of Holies, he was to go in first with the altar, or with the incense from the altar. He would burn it there. Then he would go out and bring in the blood of the sacrifice. And so that, again, representing the wonder of the Lord Jesus, the holiness, the grace, the love, the person of the Lord Jesus as that ascended up there in that incense, and then the blood itself as the sacrifice being offered there as well. And so we see both those things being offered there before the Lord on the Day of Atonement. And so here, this is the altar of incense. Now, we're going to get into the brazen altar, or rather the brazen laver, rather, the wash tub, if you will. And we'll get into the worship itself as we look there beginning in verse number 11 and go down as the priests prepare for this work. And this is specifically concerning that intercessory prayer that they were offering for the people, that they were to bring forth before the Lord. We'll read, when we go further in chapter 30 here, we'll read about this work of this worship, of them offering these prayers for the Lord, or to the Lord on behalf of the people, as he gives them direction here on how they are to worship him. But then we'll get down to verse 18. We'll take up again with the laver of brass, that other piece of furniture that will be used in that time of worship. All right, let's all stand together and we'll be dismissed tonight.